In Parshas B'Shalach, we read about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is from the word Meitzar, restrictions, confinement. Min ha-Meitzar karasika, from narrow straits we call out to you, Hashem. The Sfarim HaKadoshim say that in the weeks we read about Yetzias Mitzrayim is an Eis Ratzon. It's an auspicious time when we can be freed from our own personal Mitzrayim, our own personal Meitzar, the things that restricts us, the things that prevents us from growing and accomplishing the things that we'd like to achieve. The idea of Meitzar is actually based on a Malbim. The Malbim wrote a Sefer on the words of the Torah called Sefer HaKarmel. Under the title Mitzrayim, the Malbim says something very interesting. A man who comes from Yerushalayim is called a Yerushalmi. Likewise, a man who hails from America is called an American. Canada, Canadian. What about Mitzrayim, modern-day Egypt? A person who hails from Mitzrayim is not called a Mitzrayimi, even though it makes sense to call him that way. But rather, he's called a Mitzri. We find it in the Torah as well. In Parshas Kiseitse, the Pasuk says, Lo tesav Mitzri. Parshas Shemois, V'yar ish Mitzri. So why isn't the Mem part of the proper noun? In which case, he would be called a Mitzrayimi. Says the Malbim, the name Mitzrayim is not only a noun, it's also a verb. It has profound meaning. The root of the word Mitzrayim is Meitzar. And that is why we call him ish Mitzri. Meitzar, by definition, is a narrow place. Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim were in a constricted place, in a narrow place, in the sense that they were pressed from all directions. They lived a life of Meitzar, a life of pressure and torment and persecution. Yetzias Mitzrayim means that every year we have the ability to leave from that type of environment. We are able to exit our own personal hardships. The mitzvah of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim is mentioned over 40 times in the Torah. Why is this concept repeated so often? So the Chasam Sofer explains, when the Eden were enslaved in Mitzrayim, they couldn't understand why they had to endure such immense pain and suffering. Endless torment and oppression, back-breaking labor. Their newborn baby boys were thrown into the Nile. Thousands more were stuffed into walls. It didn't make sense to them. How could it be that the wicked Egyptians prosper while the Eden suffered? But after 210 years of hardship, they finally understood. They finally understood that this suffering was necessary to refine them, to prepare them to become the Am HaNivchar, the chosen nation, and to make them worthy of accepting the Torah in Har Sinai. It's like a mother forcefully opening her child's mouth to give them medicine. To the child, it seemed so cruel, but years later, they realized it was for their own personal good. While the Eden were in Mitzrayim, their suffering made no sense to them. They had no frame of reference. They had no precedent to compare it to. It was incomprehensible. They couldn't reconcile it in their minds. But the day when a Yid suffers and struggles to make sense of their pain and suffering, all they need to do is remember Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Just as their suffering in Mitzrayim led them to their ultimate purpose, so too our hardships are a necessary part of our journey to fulfill our tachlis, to fulfill our unique mission and purpose in this world. And one day we too will see why we had to endure this path. Just last week, Klal Yisrael witnessed an extraordinary display of betachem, one rarely seen since the Holocaust. 19-year-old Agam Berger discovered within herself the Pintel Yid, that eternal spark of Torah that lies dormant in every Yiddish neshama. Faced with unimaginable terror, faced with the ultimate Meitzar, surrounded by evil terrorists who sought to destroy not just her guf but also her neshama, she made an extraordinary choice. Despite having no formal Torah education, despite never experiencing the warmth of Shabbos growing up, she chose to observe Shabbos in captivity. And incredibly, miles away, she ignited another Yiddish neshama, her mother's. Unaware that her daughter had taken on Shmirah Shabbos, her mother independently made the same decision and began keeping Shabbos as well. Despite her weakness, Agam fasted on Yom Kippur. She even inspired her fellow captives to fast along with her. Despite their hunger, they refused to eat non-kosher food. With these acts of Mesiras Nefesh, they joined the ranks of the great Jewish women throughout history, from Sarah Menu to Esther Amalka to the heroines of the Holocaust, who upheld their faith in the face of overwhelming adversity. When word came down that Agam would be released on Shabbos, a mother and daughter who had not seen each other for almost 500 days begged Klal Yisrael not to be Mechal Shabbos on their behalf. And Hashem complied. Agam was released on Thursday, ensuring that our freedom would not come at the cost of Chil Shabbos. On the helicopter ride home, with millions of people watching around the world, Agam wrote, Derech Amuna Bacharti. I have chosen the path of faith. A girl who did not grow up from. A teenager who had never attended a single Beis Yaakov class. Taught the world the meaning of Amuna. Agam's story is a powerful reminder that within every Jewish soul, no matter how distant they may seem from Yiddishkeit, lies a divine spark waiting to illuminate the world. And now, we know. Have a wonderful Shabbos.